Mr. A.D. Venture. Thank you so much for everybody to tune in, apologizing for the technical difficulties of earlier. But we are live and on the air. A.D., are you there?
Oh, I'm here.
Awesome. Excellent. I'm glad to hear it. So we have an exciting show for you today. We have a special guest caller who will be joining us about halfway through the show. Amanda Lynn Mayhew is a radio celebrity. And, well, I'm not going to give you too much more information. We will wait till she gives us a ring to learn more. So welcome back, everyone. It has been an amazing week. AD Venture and I had an instructor's weekend this weekend. We got to try out and examine some of the newest products on the market, courtesy of one of our sponsors, which is Trail Explorers. You can visit them at, I believe it's Trail Outfitters, Trail Explorers. Do you remember which one it is, AD Venture? I'm just going to have a...
I can't remember which one, what the exact address was, but a quick Google search will turn out the results.
I think it was Trail Outfitters. Let me just see what we can find here.
We have some great weather this weekend, and I'm looking very forward to posting those videos on our YouTube channel.
Oh, absolutely. So do you want to give our YouTube channel out to our listeners?
Absolutely. Our YouTube channel is obviously www.youtube.com/barefootbushcraft. Now, remember, the O's in barefoot are zeros. Unfortunately, someone stole our name, but there you go. It's Barefoot Bushcraft with two zeros for the O's.
Two zeros, that's right. Yeah, so we have a lot of exciting videos. If some of you, our listeners, have not checked them out, please go ahead and do so. One of our sponsors is Trail Explorers, and you can visit them at trailexplorers.com. And we have a really great relationship with them. They send us a lot of the free products, a lot of the new products on the market that are just coming out. So we had a chance to do some film work, and I'm sure if you go on there in the next couple of weeks, you'll see some of the new footage. We release about once a week usually. So please consider subscribing to that channel. It's an awful lot of fun. So what is our first topic today, Mr. Venture?
Well, actually, we're going to be discussing in the news right now.
In good news.
Today's segment is actually about a bear attack in Northern Ontario.
Yes, and so CTV said on May the 12th that by a gentleman by the name of Joe Ascouger was attacked by a bear. It's a really interesting story, and we have several news sources. Strangely enough, for whatever your opinion of mainstream media is, they have several different stories, different versions of exactly what happened. One of these things says basically this guy was sitting out on his front porch. Out of nowhere, a bear came charging at him. He ran into the house, and he started making telephone calls, it says. And then, unfortunately, his dog, as any new young puppy would do, decided it was going to defend him to the death. The bear, unfortunately, killed the dog while he was making phone calls. And then it said that the bear decided to break
just
his house. I'm sorry. What was that?
I just wanted to quickly provide the links of all our sources to our listeners here on freedomizerradio.com. Just in the chat there, you'll see all the different links that we're going to be providing to you so that you can read the story yourself and see all the peculiarities about the story. There's a lot of interesting aspects of this particular tale that both Wolf and I are really keen about discussing.
Yes, absolutely, yeah. So the one I'm looking at right now is the CTV News one. It said Joe Ascouger, and I apologize if I'm not pronouncing his name correctly, just moved to Cochrane, just north of Timmins, Ontario. Out of nowhere, a bear came charging. My German Shepherd jumped on him and started wrestling, so I went back into my house and started making some phone calls and making as much noise as I could so he would disappear. But Ascouger's efforts, the bear did not leave him, and it said in this article, it says the bear chased him 40 meters to a nearby road, and then dragged the guy by his head into the bushes. So that's what this one says. Then it says a couple of ladies came out of nowhere in their car and scared the bear away and drove the guy with the broken face to the hospital. Now, on another article, and I'll let the AD Venture give you the details of one of those other articles. Are you ready for that?
Absolutely.
Okay, so yeah, so again, that's the CTV News one. So it says that he decided, bear came out of nowhere, he decided to go into his house and make some phone calls, then the bear kills his dog, drags him to the road, and he got saved by these two ladies. So what's the other story?
Well, there's, again, the main elements of the story do remain the same, where he says that, again, a bear charged him out of the forest, it killed his dog, and eventually got onto him, with a lot of different details in between, and then eventually these two ladies came out of nowhere and were able to help him out. Now, we want to make sure that our listeners know that we're not placing blame, on the victim directly, although that there's a lot of things that he could have done differently. But, you know, we're trying to review this story particularly so that it's a learning experience for everyone, and then we can examine certain things that might help improve, your bushcraft style, your awareness of nature, and just be prepared for something like this.
Sure, absolutely. And, of course, the other thing is that the media has a habit of not always sharing the same story everywhere you go. The one thing I don't understand, and I'm not sure what the protocol was that this gentleman had followed, why would you go in the house and make some phone calls? Like, oh, there's a bear killing my dog. I'm going to call my aunt. Like, it doesn't seem to show his urgency of the situation. I'm sure it was, obviously, a big problem, but...
In all the stories, he does mention that... he was trying to call a friend. Now, in that case, you would think, well, why aren't you trying to call the police or some sort of emergency assistance that might be able to assist you in this? And also, why don't you have bear spray? In a season where a lot of bears are coming out of hibernation, they're hungry. The story basically, all the stories do remain the same in the sense that it starts with him being on his porch eating his breakfast. Now, perhaps the smell was carrying and attracted the bear, but it seems very odd because if this is a bear that's just hungry, perhaps, it seems that it would have been satisfied with killing the dog because the dog in the story charged the bear and it was killed and dragged into the forest. At this point, the story is, diverging where he is either trying to call a friend or he runs into his cabin and tries to block the entrance. The other one is he goes in and he tries to make noise. So, again, you find a lot of different variances in this particular story. You might also notice in one of the links that we provided from the National Post is that the picture that's provided is of a grizzly. And we're talking about a black bear in northern Ontario. So this just provides a little slant that the media does, in fact, try to push. And doesn't try to inform the public properly in regards to these sorts of tales. But it is extremely strange where you find all these different types of variances in all these different stories, and you start to question the actual victim himself. And again, it might sound a little harsh, but you start to wonder why he didn't have bear spray, why he was eating on his porch, why he wasn't prepared further. And again, if he's telling different stories to the media, perhaps maybe... This is just a possibility. I'm only speculating here, but perhaps he tried to feed the bear thinking it was possible. Perhaps, who knows what could have happened. But again, all these different variances in the story do provide a questionable mindset. What do you think about that, Wolf?
Yeah, and again, I'm certainly not in a position to blame the victim. I don't have all the facts. What takes me by this story is that the media seems to change things. In fact, isn't there one version of the story that says the bear broke into his house? I was reading, like I said, it depends on which source. And that and that sort of almost makes you wonder about misinformation, and it's just a very, very strange situation. And it's unfortunate that it happened that way, of course. But
very much.
Yeah, very, very strange. And, of course, there's a lot of
It's a learning experience.
Oh, of course. And, I feel very, very bad for the gentleman. He just moved up there. So, you know, the reality is, like a lot of the people that like to play Survivor Man or whatever, they may not have the proper skills to be in that environment. You know, you always have to worry about being bear aware, as we say, and be concerned at all times of your whereabouts. And, I mean, we don't know the situation. We don't know how remote he was. We don't know any of that. Timmins is a very remote area by nature. I will admit that. I mean, I've visited up in that area. You know, it's fairly north in Ontario, and it's up there not too far. Was not too far around the Sudbury area. Is that about right, AD Venture? I'm not 100% sure.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
I've been there. It's
total,
up there, anyways.
Yeah, northeast, northwest of there. But again, you know, you consider these sorts of situations. You buy yourself again, this was a remote cabin, according to all these different stories, just off a little logging trail. And again, you would think, you know, why doesn't he have some sort of protection, a rifle, you know, even, you know, would you not carry some sort of cutting implement with you at the same, you know, while you're up there? You know, again, I'm always with, you know, never without my cutting implement. And the stories indicate that, you know, he jabbed the bear in the eye, or he tried to push it away, but it, you know, he doesn't mention anything in trying to use objects to try to fend off this bear.
Yes, and you know, that as well could simply be an issue with the media that they didn't want to put that. Oh, he was using his 12-inch K-bar to stab him in the eye. You know,
very true.
Media has a tendency to twist stories, and I think, in my opinion, that's most likely why we're getting differences in everywhere that we look. It's not so much because that this gentleman is, you know, there's incorrect facts out there, but I think it's just a case of, you know, the media has slightly skewed some of the stories. And again, you know, and this information not only comes from time and time again where there's a lot of evidence about this, but when I have interviews and talks with the media, they often will take things, not necessarily out of context, but sometimes facts and figures seem to get a bit skewed. You know, you'll say one thing and it'll change into something else, or just generally wrong. But so, you know, the biggest thing that goes to show you is when we go out in nature, and we've talked about this pretty much on every single episode, that you as a human are not this, you know, the top of the food chain. You are not the, you know, master of your domain when you're out there. You know, having that attitude that I am mad and everything will bow to me simply doesn't cut it in that kind of environment. We have to be aware of our surroundings. John Young, he's an author of The Coyote's Guide to Natural Learning. I spent a week with him at a seminar called The Art of Mentoring last year, and he was saying that when the young tribesmen, the bushmen of the Kalahari, they take them out into the woods, and they find tracks from, you know, some of the various wild animals, cougars, lions, things like that, that live in that area. There's no cougars, but anyway, and they find these tracks, and they say, when I was your age, many, many of our people died and were eaten by wild animals. And, you know, they show the evidence. Like, there's the tracks of these large animals. And then they say, you know, when I was your age, many people died. And the young tribesmen at the Bushmen are taught from a very young age to have that respect for nature, to have that concept where when you go out into the woods, you have to be looking around, you have to be using all of your senses, you have to be constantly aware of every kind of thing that can be out there, from a snake that's going to bite you to something bigger that's going to eat you. And I think a lot of Western society seem to have lost that. Like I say, we have that almost that where nature owes us, you know, and it's not really that way.
Absolutely. And you can speak about awareness quite well in regards to seeing people texting on their phone as they cross a busy intersection without even looking. So even in urban situations, you find that individuals are definitely not aware of their surroundings.
Of course. And I mean, technology like mobile phones are almost designed to be addictive, right? Things like Pinterest and other websites are designed to draw you in, and for whatever it is in the human psyche, the mobile phone seems to be something that has implanted itself deep into who we are. I wouldn't even say it satisfies any real needs. Like, you know, It doesn't satisfy the need for friendship or anything like that, but it's interesting. And I'm sure over the years there have been many deaths related to mobile phone usage, whether it be texting while you're driving or, like you said, head down and walking through an intersection and, you know, hit by a bus. So I think yep. That's one of the things that we try to do as instructors is not so much like, oh, you need to survive everything. You need to, you know, go out into the world and pretend to be Survivor Man. I think we bring that awareness and that valuable, that sort of a method of valuing your surroundings, valuing nature, and valuing yourself when you're out there. So I think that all sort of ties into the preservation, where the bushcraft lifestyle is about everything being multi-purpose. It's about everything surviving and enjoying nature, but also giving back to say, I need to do this in a certain way to not destroy nature. And, you know, and this really has nothing to do with the bear attack, but it sort of becomes part of our lifestyle to then become aware, to go, oh, geez, there, you know, if he was out there wandering around in the woods every day, going to a sit spot, whatever, he would have seen bear poop. He would have seen bear tracks, right? And please don't think that I'm pointing the finger at the victim. It's just he may have been able to get a heads up through his own awareness. To go, okay, I need to be a bit more bear aware. And, you know, that could be putting a leash on your dog, watching the direction of the wind when you eat, all that sort of stuff.
That's exactly it. That's exactly it. And even during our instructor weekend, just the day ago, you know, we heard those coyotes. And that is also part of being aware of your surroundings. And with all the different noises coming from nature, you know, it's sometimes difficult to hone in on these things, but, you know, we made them out and we could hear them.
Yeah, I mean, we were walking through the woods. We did spend most of our instructor weekend in the woods. We looked around and it was like, oh, look, that looks like could be coyote poop. And, you know, didn't really pay any attention. I didn't even mention it to Venture there. And it was like, oh, whatever. And then, you know, we're laying in our tents at night. Oh, you saw it. Oh, excellent. Yeah, we were laying in our tents at night, and we hear like, yip, 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 yip. And it's like, hey, they got food. That's cool. And just having that awareness, it's like, wow, that's, you know, that's really cool. And, of course, if we were in a very a real backwoods country area, it would have been each other's responsibility to be like, hey, that looks like coyote poop. That way we know if we had a small dog with us or something. Be careful, because a small dog is edible. You know, we're edible, and I think it's you know, that sort of thing is bringing awareness is just as important as practicing the skills themselves. So it looks like so it looks like in a few moments we will most likely have our guest come on the show, and we're actually really pumped and excited to have different guests on the show. One of the things we try to do on the Barefoot Bushcraft Show is bring celebrities in from, you know, from around the globe who are interested in the field of outdoor recreation, survival, bushcraft, whatever term that we end up using on it, just to sort of entertain the things that, you know, different concepts. And I invite anybody, of course, this is a call-in show. Anybody who is interested, please give us a call at the radio show. And, of course, that call-in number when we are live is 1-347-324-3704. When you call in, it'll say press 1 to speak to the host. Then it will notify us, and either myself or Venture will pull you into the screen room, give you, you know, get a little bit of information about you, and then we'll put you online.
And if you're calling from the United States, you can call our 1-800 number, which is 1-866-200-4449.
All right. Yes, and again,
one thing before we get our call in. I'm sorry, Wolf.
Yeah, go ahead. I was just going to start talking about some of the products we reviewed. But yeah, go ahead.
Well, that's exactly what I was going to talk about. We were going to. I wanted to discuss our the review that we did, which you'll actually see on YouTube quite shortly. The video review we did, but that was the Gerber Survivor Series Firestarter by Bear Grylls. And I'm just going to put the link in our Freedomizer Radio chat right now. And the product number is actually 31-000699. take a look at that product. It's quite interesting, actually. Wolf, you enjoyed it quite well. Why don't you tell us about it?
Oh, wow. Yeah. Well, I was the video producer, so I was the guy behind the camera. So, yeah, it was like it's a ferro seam rod survival kit. And it has, you know, your standard ferro seam rod. But there's something about this ferro seam rod that seems different than all the other ones. Why don't you tell us a little bit about that adventure?
Well, first off,
I know you said you noticed, sorry, go ahead.
That you make off it. No, I was just going to say that, you know, first off, when you take the initial spark off it, it's quite incredible. You don't have to remove any of the material that's been put onto the ferrocium rod to ensure that it doesn't go off magically while it's in storage or in transit. And it's quite incredible, the spark that you get, you know, just starting off right out of the package. You've got a whistle on there as well. It's all connected by a little lanyard. I recommend just extending that slightly, making it a little bit longer because it's a little more convenient when you get the striker. And the striker and the ferrocium rod actually lock in together and, you know, are quite compact. They're really nice and could fit easily in a pocket, in a little pouch, anything really, on a necklace. And you have a whistle as well, which is extremely loud. So you'll see the demonstration in our video.
Yeah. It's a good video, yeah, and it's a good product. We definitely enjoyed doing the review on it. Again, special thanks to our sponsors for sending us that product to review. It was great. It was really great. I did enjoy it. All right, so we are going to go to commercial for a couple of minutes, and when we come back, our special guest, Amanda Lynn, will be on the show.
Hey there, everyone. This is Chrissy Featherstone, the host of the new show, Real Talk USA, on FreedomizerRadio.com. Join me every Sunday from 1 to 3 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. This is a seriously but yet funny show. Topics will range from current events to psychological factors in America from the scientific approach, and this will be happening every Sunday. We have musical artists that will also come on, and I love banter from the listeners. The show will also offer and feature listener choice topics every third Sunday. So call in to 347-324-3704 or join us in the chat room at freedomizerradio.com.
Are you one of the tens of people who are tired of seeing chemtrails? Fed up with the government geoengineering you every other day? Take a dose of La Mecha Wong Chemtrail Remover daily and you'll never worry about weather modification again. With great ingredients and quality vitamins from Mexico and China, like fluoride, barium, high fructose corn syrup, and colloidal mercury, your brain will be a virtual etch-a-sketch lickety-split. La Mecha Wong Chemtrail Remover. Wow, I don't even remember the tagline for this, so it must be great.
All right. Thank you so much for tuning in to the Barefoot Bushcraft Show today. We have our special guest, Amanda Mayhew, with us on the line.
Hey.
Thanks so much for tuning in.
Thanks for having me. This will be fun. I've been listening.
Yeah.
I got home about 10 minutes ago, and I've been listening to your show, so it's interesting.
Thank you.
We apologize for all the technical difficulties we're experiencing today.
Hey, everyone goes through that, right?
Yeah, with the way this radio show works on Freedomizer, we have to do we're pretty much in charge of everything that the show goes through. We don't have like a crew that does some of the stuff and all the mixing and commercials and stuff. So sometimes the web-based system sometimes is a little bit challenging to use.
But it just
makes
it more entertaining and fun, right?
Well, hopefully for our listeners it is. But I've got to ask you, Amanda, I remember seeing your name come up when I went to the Toronto Sportsman Show, and I read a little bit about you, and when I heard that you were going to be on the show, I was really excited because, you know, this is a great opportunity for me to learn, you know, all about you. So, you know, why don't you take it away?
Oh, what do you want me to start with? Where do you want me to go?
Start by telling us a little bit more about yourself, about what you do, and we'll start there.
Only half an hour, eh? I actually, when it comes to the outdoors world, I've always been in the outdoors with my parents and my sister growing up in Northern Ontario. So being in the outdoors with fishing and camping and hunting and stuff is not something strange for me. And when I moved down to the Waterloo region 10 years ago, it was to promote, I'm a fitness trainer. So it was all about promoting my magazine and training and getting into more of an opportunity instead of being in a secluded northern town. And still being in the outdoors and going to the Toronto Sportsman Show as a visitor myself and attending other things and just getting more into different hunting types, because we don't have turkey and the shotgun hunt and all that stuff down here is different than up north. And dealing and making friends with other people who are editors of different magazines, they kind of exposed my pastime hobby, which was hunting. And my actual first appearance was at the Outdoor Canada show in 2011 with Outdoor Canada magazine as part of the Women of the Outdoors on their panel. So that's what kind of got the ball rolling. And since then, it's been nothing but explosion after explosion of appearances and all kinds of good stuff happening. And now, to round it all up in one ball, a program director approached me last summer and suggested to put all of my hobbies into one show, and that's where Nothing But Outdoors Radio Show came from. So that kind of sums it all up.
Well, that's great.
Oh, that's fantastic.
And I just want our listeners to know that we've put your website address into the Freedomizer Radio chat right here. And that, for everyone else who doesn't have access to a computer, is www.amandalynnmayhew.com.
Yeah, and there's a lot of stuff going on there. The radio show, I've been organizing Women of the Outdoors Day, which is a day we have at the local Elmira Rod and Gun Club where women can come out and try their hand at shooting, archery, handguns, rifle, skeet shooting, no license required. I've also created Targeting the Huntress. The director of the Sportsman Show and I came up with that idea this year, and that was the show we put on at the show, and that'll be running again next year. So we're always looking for new women to join us on the panel. So that's something good.
Oh, wow,
that
sounds fantastic. So can you tell me about the with the Elmira Rod and Gun Club? That is that the May 28th, is it, I believe?
I think it's May 26th. It'll be next
May 26th, Sunday. I apologize.
Yeah.
Okay, so can you tell us a little bit about that show? Now, it is women only, I've been told.
Yeah, women only. Our volunteers won't be women only, but it is for women. It'll be pretty much one-on-one. They'll try, like I said, they can come out and they can try shotgun, rifle, handgun, archery. They're split up into groups of five or six, and we rotate our stations, and they just come on out and have a good time. And there's range officers on, you know, at the premises. Almost everyone that's there is a range officer or certified. And then they get a free lunch, and they can decide if they like it or not like it, or go from there. I get a lot of emails from women who, how do I get into this? How should I try it? You know, I want to surprise my husband, or, you know, I want to go do this by myself. Where do I start? So we kind of just gave them a starting point.
Oh, that's fantastic.
What do you think is the major hindrance? Oh, I'm sorry, Will.
No, that was my only comment. That was all. Go ahead.
No, sorry, you prefer to be called Amanda?
Amanda's fine. No, Amanda's fine.
Okay. What do you think is the biggest hindrance to women to just enjoying the outdoors, to becoming, you know, more involved or to exploring something that, you know, they may have not thought of before, or they think that, you know, because again, from a male point of view, you have certain perspectives, but you might not know the true reason why someone might, you know, not consider, you know, enjoying something that is really something so natural to us.
I think a lot of guys, that's not even right. I think some guys might intimidate girls just by the way they talk when they're around, just by, oh, this is what happened to me one time, or kind of making it sound more scary than it is. You know, like, I know a lot of guys who are scared of the dark. They will not go into that bush until the sun is up to go, you know, sit in their tree stand or whatever. And I think that they've kind of scared some of the girls. And I mean, for city girls, they've never done it before. They don't know what to expect. They've never been on, you know, they've never experienced it. So I think it's just kind of clearing it up for them and seeing that other girls can do it on their own or go with their guys or whatever the case may be. Well, if they can do it, then I can do it too. And I just think that once that hurdle is gone, it'll be fine. It'll be completely equal. Because I'll tell you, most
sure
women... Sorry?
No, sir, go ahead. I'm sorry.
I think most women have... the girls I know aim better because they have more patience. And, yeah. And they're willing to say, you know what, I can do this by myself, so I am going to walk out to that tree stand at 5 o'clock in the morning. I don't care if it's dark. So...
That's great to hear, but what I was going to say is that clearly from the response that I saw just from the sportsman show alone was that clearly that you're getting a great response from women, that it must be that a lot more women are seeing yourself and others and saying, yeah, I can do that myself, clearly, and that's really inspiring even to a male, you know, to see that more women are in fact being involved and enjoying something that is just, you know, belongs to all of us.
Yeah, even with the Women's Day that we had last year, I had a lot of girls come out, and I actually received emails from their husbands saying, thank you so much for putting this on. I'm so happy my, you know, whoever wife came and was involved, and now she wants her hunting license, and now she wants her firearms license, and we're going to actually go hunting together, and I'm so excited, and, you know, that's great. That's great that they can do that.
Well, that definitely brings a smile to my face.
Yeah, myself as well. And it is kind of unfortunate that you see a lot of hunting and outdoor pursuits are mostly dominated by males, and there's really no need for that.
No.
You know, and I have to agree with you, Amanda, that many times when I work with women as an instructor, they seem to have they don't have that sense of entitlement. Like, I am man, I should be able to do this. I don't need you.
I know.
Whereas,
yeah,
you know, whereas I find women are like.
Oh, and see,
yeah.
Men are always, you know, with the macho attitude. They don't want to, you know, they want to have a big shield and pretend that, you know, they can handle anything and, you know, not question and not wonder and, you know, pretend that, you know, they can take anything on. And that is definitely one of the biggest weaknesses in the male gender.
Yeah, and there's lots, like, I mean, there's lots of things that men can do that women can do that, you know, I don't even think it's gender-related, it's person. There's a lot of things that people can do that other people can't, and vice versa. So you're going to have a girl that's scared of the dark, you're going to have a guy that's scared of the dark, you're going to have a man that can't pull a deer across a plowed field, you're going to have a woman that could, you know, like, it doesn't matter. And, like, my husband... He supports me 100%. We go hunting together, but we take two separate moose hunting trips. He goes with the guys, where I've also been invited and included if I wanted to be, but he just goes with his guys, and I go back home to where my parents are. I take my son hunting, and him and myself go out by ourselves, or I'll go with my dad one day or whatever. So, you know, you can do it together. You can do it apart. It doesn't matter if you're a girl or a guy. It just depends on the kind of person you are, the independence and the strength that you have, and what you can handle as a person.
Wow. That's really inspiring. That's really, really inspiring.
My dad, like I said, my dad has had me out in the bush since I was, oh my God, since I was two. There's a picture of him and myself where I was 2 years old, and we had gone grouse hunting, and, you know, and that's all... That's all I can remember for the most part. It's all I've ever done, and I did all the things that you would raise your son doing, you know? So
that's really, really cool. So you have, like, you know, your PAL. In Canada, PAL is, what is it, possession, acquisition, license?
Right.
You know, for stuff like that. So what do you prefer to use when you go hunting?
It depends when I'm hunting.
Oh,
when
cool.
I'm bear and moose hunting, I use a 30-06, and it's a Weatherby handed down from my grandfather, who passed away a couple of years ago. When I'm grouse hunting, I have an 870 12 gauge. I know everyone says 12 gauge, what are you crazy? But that's what I use. Or I have a 16-gauge over and under as well that was passed down from my grandfather. So a lot of the stuff has been inherited and kept in the family. It just depends on what I'm hunting and, yeah.
Oh, very nice. Now, you hunt with bow as well?
I do crossbow with deer, yes. And I was successful. I went out three times last year, and I was successful on the last day of deer season last year, of bow season.
Wow, that's amazing. Now, speaking of firearms and archery and such, I had heard by way of your website that you spent some time down in the United States and made it to a big convention down there.
Yes, the NRA. Wow. If you have anything on your list to go to, any sort of firearm show, put that on your list. Amazing. Not anything that I would ever expect.
Please tell us more. I'd love to hear more about this.
It's 3 days. This year it was in Houston, Texas, and it was the 3 day, the 3rd to the 5th, and they had 3 levels. And when you went into the front doors, if you were not an NRA member of any sort, then you could join for $25, and the show was free. So, I mean, for most outdoor shows, you spend quite a bit of money just to get in for 1 day. Once you get in, there's posters, there's people, there's celebrities, there's concerts going on in the booths. Some of the different gun manufacturers had little mini concerts with CMT country music artists, which was phenomenal. Ted Nugent was walking around. You had meetings on the 3rd floor with all the NRA, you know, the presidents, and different guest speakers were coming in. You could go on the 2nd floor and try your hand at air rifles and shooting, you know, right in the building, which was pretty cool. And nothing is attached. You can walk right through the Savage booth and pick up any rifle you want and spin around with it. And it was just fabulous the way they had the booth set up and the people were interactive. They had so many people there. And I met the guys from Duck Commander, so that was pretty cool.
That's very cool.
And you said that you get an NRA membership with your entry fee, even for boarders?
Yeah, so I'm an NRA member now for 1 year.
Wow.
Yeah. So,
wow, that's very cool. Now,
I've never been called
Canada,
a foreigner before either.
Well, yeah. So in Canada, we have a version of the NRA. It is the Canadian Sports Shooting Association, I believe.
Yeah, the CSSA.
CSSA.
Yeah.
I know. Sometimes they have an email list where you can get emails and things like that. But I don't think I can't say that in Canada I've ever been to a show that sounds, you know, that exciting. And how big was it? Like, would it take a few hours to walk through all the vendors?
No, you would need 3 days to walk through the whole thing. Like, we swept it in 6 hours, but we didn't. You could spend 3 days in there, no problem, and still not see and do everything. And it was all firearms, so no archery, no fishing, nothing. It was just all guns. And 85,000 people walked through there. So
wow.
Yeah, and just phenomenal. And most of the people, I would say 80% of the people were over the age of 45. There was hardly, the generation gap was, I mean, you hardly saw any kids in there. There weren't a lot of women. It was mostly guys and older guys. Like, it was just wow. Where you go to the Toronto Sportsman Show and you see families, you know? So it was just,
and did you have any insight as to why that may be that way?
I don't know. No, I really don't know. It wasn't on my itinerary to go there specifically for that. I was in Houston for a different function altogether. But when I had seen how close it was, I just said, hey, I've never been. Let's go. And, yeah.
And did you feel that you were welcomed at the event? Did people inquire about you, if you were, you know, not from there? And they found out if you were Canadian?
No, I mean, a couple of people asked where I was from, just kind of shooting the breeze within some of the booths. The Hornady booth was probably the coolest booth I was in. They had a demonstration circle set up, so they had all of their reloading equipment that you could demo, and we got to talking to some of those guys, and, oh, wow, you're down here from Canada. That's really cool. Beretta booth was the same. So, no one treated me horrible. They were actually more excited that I had, they thought I came all the way to from Canada to see their show, which wasn't the case, but they didn't need to know that.
Wow.
So have you put anything
cool
on your shopping list now that you've seen the show?
Not really. No. No, there was
What about was good experience?
Sorry?
What was...
I said overall it was a good experience.
It was a great experience. I want to go back next year. I want to take my husband.
That's
yeah.
Cool. So there was nothing that you were like, oh, if only this was, I could buy this, you know, like the big, I don't know, 50 caliber Gatling gun or.
What am I going to do with that?
You know, but even things like.
No, there's nothing.
A hunting rifle you saw.
No, not really.
Nothing new.
I think I have everything I need. I'm not an overdoer of things, so I don't need to have five of those and three of these. And there was nothing really, it was just cool to experience and see everything. There was nothing really on my shopping list that I, no.
Wow.
I'm good with what I have. Yeah.
Oh, of course. You know, I was just curious. As, you know, sometimes I go to, you know, I've traveled around and I'll go to other countries and I'll see, you know, to like military club shows and it's like, oh, wow, this guy owns a tank. How cool is that?
Well, I mean, I wouldn't pass up a tank, but I don't know what I would do with it. But no.
So,
yeah,
Amanda, what plans do you have for the future?
What plans do I have for the future?
What's coming up on your end?
Oh, my Lord, what
anything,
is going on?
Anything exciting, anything you can tell us about that might not be secret?
There might be a couple things. I have been included on the Nikon Pro staff or the Nikon Sport Optics Pro staff. I'm the first female to join their team, which is pretty cool. And there should be some...
Congratulations.
Thank you. There should be some... There should be some pretty cool promotions and advertisings and stuff coming out with that. I've been honored to be the first official ambassador of the Toronto Sportsman Show. So that's pretty cool. I'm honored to have that title. The Outdoor Life Network is looking at my radio show as a TV series, which is pretty cool.
Wow.
I don't know what's going to come of that, but they're looking. What else is going on?
We can't inquire any further. I know that they've got those non-disclosure agreements, so we're not going to get you in trouble at all.
Guest appearances on a couple of hunting shows in Canada that's coming up this year. And actually, I have one coming up in June that's going to be filming for 2014 and then followed through with a couple extra ones in October and stuff. So just different guest appearances, and I'm actually at the Walkerton Sportsman Show on June 2nd doing Targeting the Huntress there. And, yeah.
Wow, that's fantastic. Are you going to ever make an appearance at the Big Toronto Outdoor Show? What is it in? It's usually in February. I know I went there with a press pass this year and interviewed a bunch of people.
English the Toronto Sportsman
there.
Show?
No, the Outdoor Adventure Show.
I don't know that one.
That's the different.
Oh,
yeah,
okay.
That's a different one. But no, she consistently goes to the sportsman show. That's the one I saw her last year at.
Yeah,
that's
the Outdoor Adventure Show.
At Exhibition Place.
Oh, okay.
The Outdoor Adventure Show isn't really much hunting stuff there. It's mostly like hiking, mountaineering, wilderness travel, that sort of thing. But,
oh, that sounds like fun.
Mm-hmm. Well,
yeah,
I
would definitely fit right on in and be.
Yeah.
You'd be a great guest for them.
You should call them and let them know I'm available. If I'm available. Yeah.
Well,
no,
yeah, it's in February.
Is it going to be the same weekend as the Toronto Sportsman Show, though?
I don't know.
No, they're different days.
Okay. Because the Sportsman Show this year is in February as well, yeah. Okay.
Yeah, but we'll keep in touch about that, and I'll give you the information. Like I say, it's in February, so it's basically still almost a year away. But yeah, that's fantastic. So yeah, so everything is always moving forward. So how did you come about working with Nikon?
How did that come about? Well, I work part time in a gun store, and one of the reps came in, and he's kind of known who I was for probably about a year and a half or so, and he just approached me and said, "Hey, are you interested in doing this?" And I said, "Hey, yes, of course I am." And that's just how it came about.
Wow, that's very, very cool. Mm-hmm. It's amazing how opportunities just sort of drop into your lap, you know, when you're least expecting it.
Oh, my God. Yes. The people I meet working in the store is pretty phenomenal. You never know who is, you know, your average Joe is not so average, and it's the majority of the people that come in that you meet. And, yeah, it makes you smile who you meet. I've met a lot of cool people the last couple of months for sure.
Oh, that's cool. So now do people sometimes just visit the store just to talk to you and, you know, about your radio show and stuff like that?
We try not to allow that, but there is the odd time where someone will come in and say, "Hey, can I get my picture taken with you?" Or, "Can you take your picture with my daughter?" Or, you know, something like that. It's very flattering, but when I'm at work, I'm at work. So we try not to allow that to happen too much.
For sure.
There's other opportunities too, if you wanted to meet me, so to speak, or, you know, get a hold of me or whatever. So.
Absolutely. Just go to our website, www.amandalynmayhew.com.
There you go.
Yeah, that's cool.
Yeah. And
all right,
I'm
sorry?
Oh, nothing. Sorry.
So do you have a lot of camping trips and hunting trips planned for later on in the season for this year?
Of course we do. We usually try to go camping almost every weekend during the summer. It's a little bit harder this year because I work Saturdays, but we're going bear hunting in August, moose hunting in October, and then our regular deer turkey hunts. Yep, every year. I already applied for my moose tag.
Very nice.
That's great.
Very nice. So, so for those of us, for those of the people who aren't from Ontario, is the moose tag clear across Ontario, or is it only for like specific regions, like for Timmins or for Niagara?
Ontario. When you enter the moose, when you enter the moose draw in Ontario, it's for a wildlife management unit within Ontario. So you choose your number, and you choose your pick, whether it's bull or cow, and you choose your whether it's bow or rifle, and they go through the draw. You automatically get a calf tag, anyways. Unless you pull an adult tag, and then that's replaced with your bull tag or your cow tag in area 15 with bow or whatever the case may be.
Okay. So do you have any advice for someone who, you know, who's interested in this? You know, the reason we have a lot of people who are fairly new to bushcraft, fairly new to the outdoors in general, who tune into the show. So if you decided that, you know, hey, I'd like to take down, a deer or a moose or something like that, how would you recommend that they get started?
Oh, wow. Try and get in with somebody who goes in a group to just for your first year to just to kind of experience, you know, the traveling, the setup, what you need to bring. How you go about doing it, how to scout for the moose, how, you know, there's just so many things to take into consideration if you've never done it before. Deer is a little bit different. Actually, deer is a lot different. And depending if you're doing the bow or you're doing the shotgun week, when you do the shotgun week, you hunt in a party. When you do the bow, you're mostly by yourself in a tree stand or in a ground blind. When you do moose, like I said, my husband goes with a group of guys. So they apply as a group. They have guaranteed adult tags because of the number of people that apply in their group. I apply as an individual. I've never pulled an adult tag in 9 years. So, but because I've been moose hunting with other people growing up, I know what to do, and I can go out there and call a moose out and do it by myself, no problem. So if it's your first time, definitely try and find someone you can go with and just hang with for the first year and shadow them and just see what it's all about and then go from there.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
That sounds like it's very, like a very involved process. It's not like you just, you know, you get your gun and you go out and you start blasting stuff.
No, it's moose hunting is harder than people think. And especially if you're an individual, like you're one person. So last year, my husband's group had tagged out on the second day. So they had their 4 moose in 2 days, and I didn't even have an adult tag. I called a bull moose out on my 4th day by myself, and I didn't even get a calf, because a calf tag or calf moose is so hard to hunt because the cow will do anything to protect that calf. So, yeah, it's not easy. It's hard. It's very hard.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
So is that where you need like a hunting party to do? To do stuff like that, to, you know, surround them, or again, you know,
you cover more ground.
Sure, okay.
Yeah, when you have a group, you can cover more ground. Plus, you can apply as a group, so you have more options of tags. You have your cow, your bull, your calf. So when you're out there and you see a moose, you know that you can take it down because you have a tag to cover your butt. But if you're one person like myself, and I apply every year, and I've only had a calf tag. The only thing I can take down is a calf. What are my chances of seeing a calf over a cow or over a bull? I'm going to probably run into a bull before I run into a calf. And so, yeah, your chances hunting with a group are going to be way higher than hunting by yourself. I just choose to hunt by myself because I like it. And I've raised my boys, you know, like that's my week with my boys. That's what I do. So...
Wow. Mm-hmm. Now, we actually have a caller that has called in with some questions. Would you be opposed to taking a question from a caller?
Sure.
Okay, hold on just one sec. Let me just bring him on in here. Just take a second to do its thing. Hello, is the Wolfman from Barefoot Bushcraft Show, and we have Amanda Mayhew on the line. Welcome, caller.
Howdy. I take it y'all are in Canada?
We are.
Yes, sir. Thanks for joining us.
What part of Canada? How big is a moose dressed out on a bull?
I'm sorry. How big is?
How big does how much meat do you get off a bull? What's it weigh after it's dressed out?
Oh my lord! Enough to feed a family of five for a year.
Yeah, I just figured probably what about y'all's bull. Are y'all on the east side of Canada?
South. Ontario, not quite east.
Yeah,
Central Ontario.
So you're roughly about 1,000 pounds for a bull?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, a
so
cow...
So you probably get about 700-800 pounds of meat?
Yes.
Yeah, cool. What kind of rifle do you use?
I use a Weatherby 30-06.
I don't know. Okay. That's pretty much the going thing. Everybody uses 30-06 up there?
Where are you from, by the way?
Oh, I live in Texas. We don't have any moose.
Texas.
Unless we import them. Yeah. We have cows.